أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How is everybody doing? I think it was you guys have started like pretty early, right? What time?
12:31.
Okay, so it's been like 1, 2, 3, 4. Wow. You're not tired?
No.
Did you stand up and do some stretching and yes? You got some break also? Okay, good. So yeah. It's good to study and then rest and study and rest. Very good, very good, mashallah. Okay. So I think it's mashallah, beautiful that all of you are coming together here for the sake of learning, for the sake of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think it's a great initiative by the hosts. May Allah put barakah on this gathering, and may you all continue this journey. And I think giving me this topic is important. I think it's a good introduction to what we're inshallah planning to do with all of you. The idea of seeking knowledge, the importance of knowledge, the power of knowledge, and how it all fits into everything. How many of you are like completely new students to this topic?
I'm new to
here. So, okay, so any beginners here, completely beginners? So let me survey beginner, intermediary, and advanced. Okay, how many of you are beginners? MashaAllah, no, okay. In the topic of Islam and in general, like, how many of you are intermediary? Okay, so mashallah, majority is intermediary. And advanced, how many advanced? Mashallah, you're all very humble, right? Yeah? Okay, very good. Alhamdulillah, we're all, inshallah, beginners and intermediary, inshallah. So let us begin, inshallah. So obviously, knowledge is extremely important, and the first ayah to be revealed to the Prophet ﷺ was Iqra, which means what?
Read.
And of course he couldn't read or write as a prophet, but what does it mean? Why is Allah commanding human beings to read as the first revelation of the Quran? Why? Because with reading, what happens?
Understanding.
We learn, we progress, we understand, and we reflect. So it's a sort of kind of development process. And is there any end to learning and reading?
No.
Now, of course, today in the age of technology and digital media, very few people read. And it's okay, by the way. Many parents are like very angry. My kids don't read. My kids don't read. But it's okay. Relax. If read in the sense doesn't necessarily mean read a book. Read can also mean to have the curiosity to want to learn something. Okay, so learning can be in different ways. You today are coming here, you're learning. So you're fulfilling the command of Allah, read. You could be watching a YouTube video to read. You could be sitting in nature and reflecting on Allah's creation and reading Allah's creation. Okay, so there's different ways of reading. And hence it is extremely important from that sense. Also Surah Al-Fatiha. All of you here have memorized Surah Al-Fatiha, yes? Okay, alhamdulillah. No, non-Muslims, your sister, right?
No.
Okay. So at the end of Surah Al-Fatiha, we ask Allah for a dua, and that is the core of Surah Al-Fatiha. It is, what is the dua? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, O Allah, guide us to the straight path. And what? How do we describe that path? Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. One interpretation of this is, O Allah, guide us to the path of those who have knowledge and act upon it. Okay, I want you to remember this, because we will end with this. So, an'amta alayhim, those who Allah blessed are those who have knowledge and they act upon it. And then there's a second group who we don't want to be a part of. What is that group? غير المغضوب عليهم. That's one group that you don't want to be part of. And then there is wala الضالين. And even the ضالين, we don't want to be part of the ضالين. So, what is the difference between the three? I'll simplify it for you. الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, they are the people who we said they have what?
Knowledge.
You forgot already? Who have what?
Knowledge
and action. Knowledge and action. Okay? مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ are people who have knowledge, but no action. Okay? Or sometimes even the people who Allah is angry with are people who have knowledge and they do the opposite. Intentionally, you know? And then dhalin are people who have a lot of action but without what? Knowledge. So try to think of this. It's very beautiful and it's so important because it's in Surah Al-Fatiha. This is something we recite how many times a day? 27 times a day if you're reciting Surah Al-Fatiha and your Salah 5 times a day. If you calculate the number of raka'at, it is 27 raka'at in a day. 27 times you're reminding yourself, oh Allah, make me of the people who have knowledge and act upon it. I don't want to be of the people who have knowledge and don't act upon it. And I don't want to be of the people who act based on no knowledge. Because that is misguidance and that is dangerous. Jazakallah khair. Knowledge is light. Al-ilmu nur. Allah describes knowledge as light. He describes the Quran as light, as a source of light. And what is the significance of light? It is a necessity of life, right? Without light, our life will be filled with darkness. Without light, we cannot see. Like if this room was pitch dark, Allah gave us eyes, but if it's pitch dark, will we be able to see?
No.
No. So light is extremely, extremely important. Allah wants us to think of knowledge as light. And we'll talk about nur in general in more depth, inshallah. But Allah says in Surah Al-Hajj, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. How many of you know Arabic here? It's okay, inshallah, it's okay. No worries, inshallah. So I will translate. So Allah says that it is not the eyes which are blinded, but it is the hearts that are blinded. Okay, so the people who have no knowledge are literally, Allah is calling them blind. Why? Because they cannot see. Knowledge gives you light to be able to see. Without knowledge, you are lost. And aren't we living in those times of darkness now? Where people are just lost, they're confused, there's doubts, and then people fall into all sorts of mental health issues, depression, anxiety, doubt, suicide, and then people escape this darkness with temporary fake light, right? In drugs, in alcohol, in overuse of entertainment, over shopping, overeating, all sorts of things people do. But the people of knowledge, they are pillars of light. And then when you have knowledge and you act upon it, Allah will give you light so that you can share it with those around you. So you become a source. So inshallah, today all of you will learn something, right? Allah will inshallah grant you light in your hearts. And then you go home and what will you do with that light? You will spread it in your homes. That's the beauty of light. And that's how communities grow. And that's how societies grow. That's how families grow. So it's really beautiful. And you all know sadaqah jariyah, right? Like, al-ilmun yuntafa'u bih. Any knowledge that is beneficial, if you share it with someone, it becomes a sadaqah jariyah. What does that mean? It means that even after you pass away, your deeds are increasing. Why? Because someone else benefited from something. And you never know, that knowledge can be passed on to other people and over generations that could continue. But to your level and your rank in your qabr, in your grave, is being raised as a result of just sharing something about the knowledge. And then, knowledge also builds God consciousness, or what is called, what is the Arabic term or Quranic term for God consciousness?
Taqwa.
Taqwa, exactly, taqwa. Very good. It comes from waqa in the Arabic language. Waqa, wiqaya, which means to be protective, which means to protect yourself. And so Allah says, innama yakhsha Allahu min ibadihi al-ulama. Those who truly have fear of God, those who truly have consciousness of God, are the ulama, are the people of knowledge. The people who really have true knowledge, they are the ones who have consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you have taqwa and you have consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will you be awake or will you be sleeping?
Awake,
because you're conscious. You're awake, right? But without taqwa, and you know my teacher, he simplified taqwa as what? Doing what Allah wants and staying away from what Allah prohibits. And also my teacher, so this is really wise. He said, listen, to do what Allah wants and to stay away from what Allah doesn't want, it's easy or difficult? Yeah, so my teacher said also something, always teach your students this. He said, try to do it majority of the time. Because we human beings are not perfect. Try to do it 80% of the time. 85, 90, 95, whatever your capacity is. But we will all have our flaws. We'll all have our weaknesses. We'll all have our slips. We'll all have our shortcomings. But it's okay. Because Allah is Ghafoorun Rahim. Allah is merciful and kind and compassionate. And the doors of Tawbah are always open. But try to stay away from the big sins. Because you know there's two types of sins. There's the minor sins, like shortcomings between you and yourself. Some you know, desires, temptations. Human beings are weak. But when it comes to the rights of others, no. That's a big deal. Violating the rights of others, that is حقوق العباد. That is serious, you know. So, but others, so try to be God conscious. And the way you become conscious of God is through ilm. Ilm gives you that fuel, the knowledge gives you the fuel to become more aware of Allah, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a deeper level. And we'll talk about all this inshallah. I hope you have time to go deep, by the way. And of course we said ilm never stops. Knowledge, seeking knowledge never stops. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Allah says in Surah Taha, and say, O Allah, increase me in knowledge. Always ask Allah, zidni ilma, zidni ilma, zidni. O Allah, increase me in knowledge. And of course, Allah also referred to ilm as a form of jihad or struggle. You know, in Fox News and CNN, they say jihad is like, you know, fighting. And no. Jihad is just struggle. It's just, and we're all doing jihad, right? Who is not struggling in this room? We're all struggling. From the moment we wake up to the moment we sleep, we're struggling. And so inshallah, all of you are mujahideen, but seeking knowledge is another form of putting extra effort. So in this ayah in Surah Furqan, Allah says, فَلَا تُطَعِ الْكَافِرِينَ, at the end, do not listen to or follow the disbelievers. وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا, and strive and struggle with them, with this Quran, jihad and kabira, a great struggle. So Allah is telling us, with this Quran, jahidhum. So it's as if, what is the struggle of the Prophet? It's to proclaim the message of the Quran to them. And that is the jihad. So teaching has become a jihad for him, you know? And we'll talk about the Quran, inshallah, in a bit. And Allah also says in Surah Al-Mujadila, He says, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah will raise those of you who have iman and those who have knowledge. درجات, which means ranks upon ranks upon ranks. Okay, so it's, is this enough motivation for all of you to seek knowledge? Shall we close? We go home? No? Okay, more? Inshallah. So, another very, very important thing is, and we talked about this earlier, knowledge versus ignorance. Knowing versus ignorance. And Allah says that they are not equal. At the end of Surah Az-Zumar, Surah Az-Zumar, ayah number 39, at the end He says, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Are they equal, the people of knowledge? Are they equal to the people of knowledge? No way, right? They're not equal. And Allah also, subhanAllah, in the Quran, I once did a study on the topic of majority and minority. Okay, listen to this carefully. Majority and minority. The word for majority in the Quran is أكثرهم. And the word for minority is قليل. قلة. Okay? And subhanAllah, every time Allah mentions the word كثير أو كثرة أو majority, like most people are, the answer is always what? Negative or positive?
Negative.
Negative. Unfortunately, that is the reality of the people. Majority are always going to be negative. But when he talks about the few, he talks about negative or positive?
Positive.
The few are those who fear Allah. The few are those who worship Allah. The few are those who believe in Allah. The few are those who trust in Allah. The few are those who are praying with khushu'. You know, so it's always about the few who are doing the right thing. So, and you, all of you here, are the few, inshallah. You know, so this is a blessing. And thank Allah for making, choosing you to be from the few. And for the younger ones here, I know it's not fun to be from the few, because you want to be with the trend. You want to be with the popular people. You want to be with the majority. Because being from the few makes you like a weirdo. Makes you like a stranger. It makes you feel like you're a loser, astaghfirullah. But that is the jihad you have to make against society, against media, against what they are portraying to you, this big lie, you know? This Dajjal system that lies, it deceives. It's a world of deception where the majority is seen as the winners and the minority are losers. In fact, it's the complete opposite. The minority are the winners and the majority are the losers. So, but of course, this doesn't mean, again, doesn't mean that you as minority start judging the majority. No, your job is to now go reach out to the majority and pull them into the minority, inshallah. So what I wanted to say is, when I did this study, there were so many, for when you search the term, and today you have many Quranic apps where you can search this, and most of them are, I did this search, okay, I didn't write the answer, and so many results came. Fasiqoon, inherently corrupt, kafirun, ingrateful. There were so many negatives, and I counted them all. Guess which was the most commonly used negative term in the Quran for majority? Guess. And most of them don't what? Most of them don't know, exactly. لكن أكثرهم لا يعلمون. This was by far the most repeated term. Allah repeats it. Why? To remind us that don't fall in that trap. Be people of knowledge, because most people don't know. Okay? And so this is just one of the ayahs in Surah Al-Jathiya. وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Isn't it interesting? Yes? Mm. So, now let's go to some hadiths also. So there's this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he says that whoever follows a path of seeking knowledge, Allah will take him on a path to paradise. Wow. This hadith is also enough motivation, right? Mm-hmm. So the traffic that you came through today to drive here, mm-hmm. the sacrifice you made, your plans, your kids are at home, your husband's complaining, oh, where's my wife, where's this? But inshallah, this path of seeking knowledge is a way for you to get your paradise. Yes, and of course Allah says that the angels lower their wings in pleasure for the seeker of knowledge. In another hadith, Allah says that, the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah told him that whenever a group of people get together to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, three things happen. Number one, the angels cover us. حفتهم الملائكة ونزلت عليهم السكينة. Allah will grant you sakina. He will grant you tranquility in your heart, peace in your heart. And then the third thing is Allah will remember you up above the seven heavens by name, each one of you. Fatima was here remembering me. And each one by name, Allah will remember you, recognize you, and appreciate what you're doing. So it's a very, very honorable thing to do. How many of you, by the way, felt the sakina so far today, like from the moment you came? And yeah, mashallah, it's beautiful, right? And those of you who haven't, inshallah, may Allah give it to you, bi-idhnillah. And Allah says, or the hadith says also, that whoever, the person of knowledge, everything in the skies and the earth do istighfar for you. What does istighfar mean? They seek forgiveness for you, non-stop. Everything in the skies and the earth does istighfar for you. Even the fish in the water does istighfar for the people of knowledge. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And of course, the superiority of the scholar or the people of knowledge over the worshipper is like the superiority of the moon over all the stars. Okay. And the scholars or people of knowledge are the hires or the heirs of the prophets. So you are literally inheriting the sunnah of the prophets. Because what was the prophet's role?
Spread knowledge,
exactly. So you are in this yourself also. Okay, now we get to the juicy part, okay? So if you've been sleeping, now you can wake up, inshallah. So, the ulama also say that there's two types of knowledge. There's husool and wusool. Husool is when, or let's talk about wusool first. Wusool means to reach someplace. Okay, you're driving and you reach someplace. So who's putting the effort? You're putting the effort to seek it, right? So you came here to seek knowledge. So you have received it. Wusul, you reach it. Reaching, okay? You seek it like reading a book. It's wusul. But there's another type of knowledge, which is husul, is when it is just given to you. Who can give me an example of knowledge that's just literally given to you without you seeking it?
Quran.
Oh, what you mean, like when you're reading, then you get some knowledge from it? What do you mean?
It's been given to us.
It's been given, exactly. Yes, that's one way. Yes, what else?
What our parents teach us, like when we're little.
Good. Yes, absolutely. So anything that people teach you, your parents, your teachers, what else?
Nature, I mean.
Close. What teaches you?
Experience,
exactly. So sometimes life experience teaches us also. And, you know, Allah in the Quran, He keeps repeating certain lessons, but the stubborn people, they don't learn the lesson from the Quran. Then how does Allah teach them? Through life. Yeah, through life. Then
hardships,
tests, difficulties. Why? Because Allah wants to teach you either way, right? Either you seek it through Quran and through just obeying what Allah is telling you, because Allah is giving a shortcut. Allah's telling you, you do this, this is the consequences. But if you want to learn the hard way, then you have to go through the trouble and the trial yourself, and then go through the pain. And then you realize, and then you say, oh, I wish I, you know, just obeyed Allah from the beginning and learned the lesson, the easy way. So there's an easy way to learn, and there's a hard way. And of course, there's different types of knowledge. So there's knowledge of deen and dunya. Let's talk about this, very important. So, and by the way, knowledge of dunya or this life, I've separated it into two. There's the school and educational system, and then there's life knowledge, okay? Which is different, right? Because in school they will teach you math, chemistry, physics, biology, all these subjects in school, which we all hated, right? And we don't know why they're teaching us, but we learned them anyway. And then there's all the beautiful life teachings that we need to learn, but they will never teach you in school. They will never teach you in college, right? Who can give me examples of some of these life skills that you need to learn?
How to manage finance.
Yeah, personal finance management, absolutely. Nobody teaches you.
Marriage.
Motherhood, parenting.
Housework.
Manage
stress.
Yeah. Stress, emotional intelligence, and exactly, right?
Dealing with different kinds of people.
Yes, so social intelligence, absolutely. So all of these intelligences, there are many trainers out there, books are written, you can seek this knowledge, and it's important to seek this knowledge, you know, because it will teach you about life. And that's something I've been very interested in over the past 15, 20 years, you know, trying to help myself and also share my teachings with others. And then, of course, so school, all of us will go through, for sure, inshallah, right? Because your parents will force you, you have no other option. But life lessons and life teachings, you will have to, how will you learn it?
By only going through it.
You will have to spend extra time from your own time to learn it. Otherwise, life will teach you the hard way. You know, so either you read about marriage before getting married, before choosing a husband even, right? And then you start in a nice way, or you learn the hard way. And it's similar to like driving, you know, for driving, what do you need to do before you get on the road to drive? What do you need to do?
Learning,
yeah. You have to have a teacher, he will teach you, and then there's theory and practice, and then you pass. Now you can go. Because if you start driving without knowledge of this life skill of driving, then you will cause
accidents
to yourself, and you will harm others also. So it is extremely important to treat life like that. Money, learn about money before you start saving and investing. Marriage, learn about marriage. Time management, learn about time management. Learn about, even one of you, most of you didn't say this one, a very important life skill. I'm still waiting for someone to say. It's one of the most important life skills that people don't know about. You said marriage, you have said parenting. There's one more very important, very important.
Self-love?
Starts with the letter H.
Thank you.
Yes, health knowledge. Knowledge of food. Because the Dajjal system, it has also, one of its deception is it has made kachra food. You know kachra? Yes? Crappy food, yeah? Made it look very nice and tasty and sweet. And the healthy food, people don't know what is healthy, what's not. People don't read ingredients. People think that by going to the gym and exercising and this and that, you will lose weight and look good. But no, it's 80-90% of it is the food you're eating. Many people don't know this. You have to learn, you have to study, you have to attend workshops and invest. It requires investment of time and money, right? If you want to live a beautiful life. Because your body is an amana. Allah has trusted you with this amana, right? So you take care of it. Become a good steward of this body. So, school knowledge, life knowledge, and then deen knowledge, yes? So there's different types of knowledge. And Allah demands you to seek knowledge of which of these three? All, of course. All of them, okay? In a balanced way. But what is the reality now? What do we really focus on most? School and college and maybe PhD and that's it. Life skills, very few people pay attention to that. Deen skills, very few people, okay? And so that's why then we end up with where we are today as an ummah. We are humiliated, we are disgraced, we are, you know, weak, because we have not followed Allah's command, and we have not invested our time and efforts into what really matters. And our biggest excuse is what?
Don't have time.
Busy. Kids, cooking, shopping, this, friends, going to city center, to eat this. And, you know, all of these excuses are valid, inshallah, but you need to make time. You can make 1 hour a day, half an hour a day to learn, right? I'm not saying spend 3 hours, 5 hours every day, no. 15 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is, make a plan. And that's something I also help my students with, is planning your life and having goals for different aspects of your life and setting some time, scheduling and developing habits that will help you achieve these goals, you know, because it's a lifelong thing. So IQ is very known, but very few people talk about EQ, emotional quotient, and social, yes, and also A. Who knows what A stands for? A is called adversity quotient. How to deal with adversity, calamities. How to deal with
crisis management.
Someone dies in your family, you lose someone you love, your business collapses. Because Allah tests us with these things, right? How do you deal with them? And that's where like tawakkul comes in, and trust and iman and all this. Wow, time is flying, huh? Subhanallah. So, remember this, most of our problems in life are due to two things. Missing information or misinformation. Is there a difference between the two?
Yes.
Big difference, right? Which one is more, do you think, nowadays?
Misinformation.
A lot of Dajjal, yeah? That's Dajjal. He's basically... by the way, Dajjal, he's known as the one with the one eye, right? Yes? His right eye is blinded. One of the spiritual meanings of this is he wants you to only look at dunya, the material life, the material world. He doesn't want you to think about akhirah, Quran, deen, prophet, sunnah, dhikr. No, he wants you just to be living in this material world. But Allah wants you to see with both, material and spiritual, together. You have your external eye and you have the inner eye in your heart. Yes? So yeah, we live in the land of, or the times of misinformation. And there's also a lot of missing information that you may not even have, that you need to seek. But it's very important in the age of information, we're in the information age, very important for us also to do what? To prioritize the knowledge. Because if you go on Amazon today to search for books on Islam, how many results you'll find? Millions, right? Which book to start with? Where to? So there needs to be like a structured curriculum of prioritization. And so, you know, a lot of people ask me about this question, and the best way to answer this is the hadith of Jibreel. Hadith of Jibreel is about the hadith where, I'm sure most of you have heard it, where a man dressed in very nice, clean, white clothes, stranger, comes into a gathering where the Prophet ﷺ is sitting with all the Sahaba, and he sits right in front of the Prophet ﷺ, and nobody recognizes this person, and everyone's shocked because he's a stranger, which means he has traveled a long way, which means his clothes need to be dirty, but they are super clean. And so he sits right in front of the Prophet ﷺ, in front of his knees, and he puts his hand like this, like a student, and he asks the Prophet ﷺ three questions. He asks him, what is Islam? What is Iman? And what's the third one? Ihsan, exactly. And the Prophet ﷺ, of course, answers each one. And every time the Prophet ﷺ answers, what does this man say? Correct, you're right. So it's as if the man was examining the Prophet ﷺ. So the Sahaba are shocked. Who is this stranger who is testing the Prophet ﷺ? You know, that's weird. So when he left, then the Sahaba asked the Prophet ﷺ, who was this man? And he said that this was Jibreel. He came to teach you your deen. So between the lines, there's a secret. What did he came to teach? Your deen. So if there was a formula, math, deen equals Islam plus Iman plus Ihsan. Okay, pay attention to this. Very, very important now. We're going a bit deep. Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. Actually, in the next slide, we'll go deeper into this. But of course, types of knowledge, of course, one of the most sacred and divine sources of knowledge is when Allah teaches you directly through the Quran. Okay, but for that, you need something which is very difficult. What do you need? If you want to get it directly, what do you need?
Arabic.
Language, yeah, Arabic. Which, again, it's difficult, but impossible?
Impossible.
Not impossible. Need to, where there is a will, there is a way. And then, of course, there is Sirah also, studying the life of the Prophet ﷺ, because at the end of the day, he's our final prophet. His life, his example, and the stories and wisdom from his teachings are priceless. And, you know, so those are some of the basic types of knowledge that I would start prioritizing in my life, okay? Because you don't want to be distracted. You don't want to be reading books about jinn or about black magic and about, like, I know it's interesting, right? Or even reading about Dajjal and Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Because these are, like, exciting subjects. But Allah won't ask you, right, about these things. He wants to, you get knowledge that benefits you always. Remember this. I need to buy a book. Like, I'll give you an example. One day I was at the bookstore and I was looking at some book. There was this very big 300-page book about the benefits of siwak. Okay, benefits of what?
Miswak,
brushing your teeth. So, do you think I bought that book or no? Why? Because what was the lesson of the book? Use the siwak, right?
Yes.
So, khalas, put it back. You don't need to pay, you know, 7 dinars to read about the science and all the different. Because khalas, take the benefits and
Read the title.
Exactly, yeah. So be smart in your reading also. So let's talk about this in more depth now. There's also different types of teachers. Okay? Because how do you learn? As a student, you need what?
Teacher.
Yeah, so student teacher. Let's talk about this for a second. Okay? So in the context of Hadith Jibreel, the ulama say that it was Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. And we said these three together may give you what? Islam, right? This deen, sorry, yes. And so there's three types of teachers also. There's teachers who are specialized in Islam, which is the fiqh part of it, how to pray, how to make wudu, the rulings of zakat, the rulings of marriage, the rulings of hajj, you know, all these laws. Who are specialized in this? People of fiqh, okay? Because they teach the law, or sharia, they call it even, okay? And then you have ulama or scholars who are specialized in iman, which is aqidah, the oneness of God. And what does iman, at the root of it, what does it mean? The root of the word iman is a three-letter word. Can you guess what it is?
Amn.
What does amn mean?
Believe.
It actually means to be feel safe, secure, safe. And so the mu'min is someone who feels what?
Safe,
secure. Okay. And so, what is aqidah to aqid? If your aqidah is weak, then you will always be uneasy. You will be anxious. You will be scared. You will be, any problem happens, you will be, you know, complaining or questioning Allah's qadr and destiny, and you'll be confused. But if your aqidah is strong, your iman is strong, then what happens? Any adversity happens, any difficulty, do you get shaken or you're at peace? You're stable because you have tawakkul, you have trust. And so aqidah, it's, you know, unfortunately, it's taught in books, but aqidah is more of, I feel that it is a subject that is not studied properly by students. You study that Allah is one, and that He has no partners, and He has no children, like Surah Al-Ikhlas, basically the summary, right? And you think, khalas, I know aqidah. I believe in Allah as the one. But, like, we know the pillars, right? How many pillars of Islam?
Five.
We don't need to repeat them. How many pillars of iman? Six, right? And we think by memorizing these, we know the subject. Yet one of the, what's the sixth pillar of iman? Belief in qadr, right? And that is one of the things Muslims today, we have the biggest problem with. We don't understand qadr, and we don't understand how to deal with it. What is in our hands? What? Why Allah put me through this? Why will Allah hold me accountable if everything is qadr, you know? So they have so many doubts, and so our aqidah is weak. So we need to study this. Because the ulama, they've put it out in very clear teachings, you know? But because we haven't studied traditionally, we don't have this knowledge. So it's very important. So would you say most of the deen today, that like religious studies and teachings, are focused on these two? Yes, do you agree?
I mean, in this world, I think, nowadays, I think more than this in terms of...
There is more.
There is a lot of differentiation.
Yes, you mean like sects and all of that?
No, I meant, I think me as a student, if I want to learn something, I would be very confused.
Yes, okay. Why?
There is so much of knowledge, but don't know what is the right source.
Uh-huh. Okay, so where are you studying? Like... Using what? Like online? Sheikh Google and stuff like that?
In terms of books, right? I mean,
okay, so good. So your independent studies.
Yes.
So this is, we will come to this, inshallah, but it is also very important. It's very dangerous to be a student of independent study.
Yes.
Because you will confuse yourself so much, and there's so many different opinions that you don't know what's right, what's wrong. So it's always traditionally... How has it been traditionally from the time of the Prophet ﷺ? How have they been teaching? There's always a teacher, a living teacher in present. So who was the Sahaba's teacher?
Prophet
ﷺ, and he was living among them, right? Who was the Prophet's teacher? Jibreel alayhi salam. And who was the Tabi'in's teacher? The Sahaba. So it was always passed down. It's like that light I told you about, right? So the light, Jibreel got it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, passed it on to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And notice I'm using what? Which word? The heart. Because light is not carried in the mind. Light is carried where? In the heart. So it's in the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he passes it on to the Sahaba. Sahaba have the light, they pass it on, Tabi'in. Tabi'in have the light, they pass it on, pass it on, pass it on, pass it on. And today, believe it or not, there are teachers, living teachers, that have that light that you can benefit from. Okay. So what I was trying to say is, because I've studied Sharia, I went to Imam Malik school here in Rafa', studied for 4 years part-time. I was very passionate about studying Sharia and all that. So they taught me these two subjects and many others also, tafsir, they taught me hadith, they taught me history and other very interesting subjects. And I learned, alhamdulillah, benefit a lot. However, there was one subject that they didn't teach me. Remember, what was the formula? Deen equals Iman, Islam, Iman, and? Yeah, so the third one, I was actually shocked because nobody taught this subject. There was no such subject as Ihsan in the curriculum. And so how am I supposed to learn? And by the way, what was the answer of the Prophet ﷺ when Jibreel asked him, what is Ihsan? Yes, to worship Allah as if you can see Him, and if you can't see Him, then He is seeing. Wow. Now, how many of you have asked yourself this question, how can I worship Allah as if I see Him? Right? It's part of your deen. It's a fundamental pillar of our deen. But maybe that question never crossed your mind, number one. Number two, even if you have that question, where are you going to get the answer from? So, are we expected to just leave this topic aside and assume that we don't know? Or are we supposed to seek answers for it, you know? So, that's where actually comes the role of the, they call them in Arabic, Murabbi teachers. Murabbi teachers are teachers who, you know, Tarbiyah, the term Tarbiyah in the Quran means someone who nurtures you. Like a mother is a Murabbiyah of her children. So, they're teachers who you go to, in school and khalas, you believe. But there are other teachers, and those people will teach you knowledge, okay? And they will examine you, and you will do tests, and khalas, you graduate, and they give you the certificate, and bye-bye. You graduated, congratulations. But the Murabbi teachers, it's like a, in the modern terms, it's called like a life coach kind of partner, exactly. Like, they're like a guide, like a mentor. And yes, and this is missing in our societies, to be honest, you know. And we try to seek answers online, and now you have ChatGPT also, right? You can ask him for advice, and he will give you advice, by the way. But my advice is, don't ask ChatGPT for advice about deen. Ask about dunya, not deen, because sometimes... Yeah. I mean, facts and stuff you can use. It's pretty accurate, but and very fast, but... advice, because see, the topic of Ihsan actually is one that has been interesting to me over the past 5-7 years now. It came very late because I was not introduced to it in my school, in my religious education. I was only taught fiqh and aqidah. But then when I learned about the subject, it's one of the things that opened my eyes to the importance of the heart. And the importance of studying with someone who has light in their heart so that they can give it to you. And you know, some Sahaba, actually, they, without even listening to a single word of the Prophet, they accepted Islam, right? They were like non-Muslims. They see the Prophet ﷺ, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Why? Because his light, you know? So, knowledge through intellect is one thing. But that light, my dear sisters and mothers, That light is what gives you guidance. It's very different. Knowledge and guidance. What's the difference between knowledge and guidance? You see all of your hearts now, the state you're in? This is the state of when your heart is awake. Okay, and I want you to train yourself to be able to identify it. Now our hearts are awake and we're listening. Before I was speaking to the minds, all of a sudden, you feel it, all of you, yes? Yeah? So this is what happens when you are talking about light and talking about the heart. And so what is the difference between knowledge and guidance? Applied knowledge, yes, in the correct way though, yes, correct way, in the, and also in the most beautiful way. Because ihsan also is the study of excellence. And it is also the study of perfection of your akhlaq, your character. It's character building, you know. Today, there is a big... people have this, they're scared of Islam. One of the big reasons why there is Islamophobia is because Muslims haven't had the right... They have good fiqh, they have good aqidah, but what about their character and akhlaq? They failed, right? And so they portrayed a very ugly picture of Muslims. And even in our societies today, there are, astaghfirullah, you know, many so-called, in their appearance, very practicing, very religious, they pray five times a day, they're reading Quran, they have memorized hadiths, but they backbite, they lie, they cheat, they get angry, they... does it make sense what I'm saying? Yes? It's because that tarbiyah is not there. Okay? So guidance is... and what in Surah Al-Fatiha are we asking Allah to teach us or to guide us?
Guidance.
There you go. So what's more important?
Guidance.
Guidance. So be careful in the pursuit of knowledge. We are not learning for the sake of information. We are learning so that we can apply it in the most perfect way to be among those who are guided. Okay? So I'll share with you Imam Ghazali's story, right? Muhyiddin Ibn Ghazali. He, at one time in his life, was one of the top scholars of the Ummah, okay, of the Muslims. He was stationed in Baghdad, in the biggest mosque there, and his students, they say, were in the tens of thousands. And hundreds of his students would, all their entire desk, they would be having ink and paper, and they'd be just writing. So he was like the... There's no equivalent in our times. I don't think... there will be, in terms of scholar, I think he hit the peak, okay? Now he, of course, was teaching what? Fiqh and aqidah and probably hadith and tafsir and all these things, right? At one point in his life, later on, he realized that something was missing. He realized that his spiritual development was not improving. He had lots of knowledge. He could answer any question you had about fiqh. But internally, his heart was not at peace. So he decided to, overnight, withdraw from his society. And he disappeared overnight. For, I think, 7 years, he went away. Nobody knows where he went, like, you know. And then he found some teachers, the murabbi teachers who teach ihsan. He found them. Allah guided him to them. And he learned with them the sciences of the heart, the sciences of the diseases of the heart, the science of the tazkiyah of the nafs. And then he came back and he started teaching again in a balanced way, you know, where now he had all three, Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. And then he wrote the classic book. Who knows what the classic book of Imam Ghazali is, which is like it's a masterpiece. Ihya Ulumuddin, exactly. The revival of the Islamic sciences. This is like a masterpiece encyclopedia of If you want to ever learn about the deen, externally and internally combined. Because now Islam is, we are only learning and teaching Islam, or the external Islam, right? What you should wear, how you should pray, how much zakah you should give. But internally, it's also extremely important. In fact, I would argue that Allah on the Day of Judgment, He says that يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On that day, Allah says that your children and your money will be of no use except for the one who comes to me with a قلب سليم, a sound heart, a pure, sound, clean heart. So Allah is, He's looking at our hearts. That's why intention is so important. Sincerity is so important. Okay? So if you want to read about Imam Ghazali's story, there's a book called Deliverance from Misguidance. Yeah, you can read that book. Very beautiful, inspiring story. So what is this ihsan all about? It is about the knowledge of Allah. Knowledge of Allah. Wow. Because, you know, we have knowledge of Quran, knowledge of seerah, knowledge of fiqh, but there is another area of study, which is knowledge of who Allah is on a deeper level. And what does it mean to know Allah? Not just shallow, that, you know, Allah is one and He is the creator and He is the sustainer and the provider. Fine, that my six-year-old knows that answer, right? But true, deep knowledge of Allah. And when you truly, and developing this knowledge has its own science that can be taught, that is taught by teachers today, right? And when you go into that, then you start knowing Allah on a deeper level. You're doing a lot of dhikr also. Lots of dhikr. The people of Ihsan, by the way, they do lots of dhikr throughout the day. They're always remembering Allah. And the more you remember Allah, the more Allah remembers you, right? فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. You remember me, I remember you. So they're doing dhikr, dhikr, and Allah reveals to them then who He is. And then when you know Allah, guess what happens? Then you love Allah even more. Because a lot of people, they worship Allah out of fear, you know? But no, worshipping Allah and being close to Allah and learning about Allah out of love, that is, wow, that is a beautiful level that inshallah all of you can achieve. So knowledge of Allah, what does it really mean, His name, Al-Salam, what does it mean? What does His name, Ar-Rahman, mean, Ar-Rahim? So Allah reveals Himself to you through these names. So worshipping Allah as though you can see Him. And of course, this science is also about the disease of the heart. The hidden diseases of the heart. Like pride, arrogance, jealousy, envy, greed, anger. When sisters, when you have like heart pain, where do you go?
Cardiologist.
Cardiologist, right? And mashallah, we have a nice big cardiology center now in Awali. You can go there, all top doctors. I think they do it for free also. But what about jealousy and pride and ego and arrogance? Where do we go?
Friend.
Hopefully, if you have a sincere friend, they will be with you. But do we even acknowledge that we have arrogance?
No.
No, because we usually lie to ourselves, you know? The reality of the nafs, because the nafs has levels, by the way. And inshallah, my niyyah is to teach you all of this stuff, inshallah, but the nafs has levels, and so at the lower level, the nafs deceives you. When you look at yourself in the mirror, you see, oh, mashallah, I'm so nice, I'm so kind, I'm so beautiful, I'm so friendly, I'm praying.
Affirmations have become the new thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You're telling yourself positive things.
And then it becomes a reality, exactly, yeah. But, so the question then is, and how do you know if you have arrogance or not?
Someone calls you out, maybe.
Yeah, so that's the role of the murabbi teacher, right? The teacher, murabbi teacher will be able to tell you that. And by the way, anyone who claims that they have no arrogance, right? That is the number one sign that you have arrogance. Because we all have some nafs in us, right? And we all were on the work in progress. And you know, there's another saying, whoever does not have a sheikh, shaitan becomes his sheikh. Because you're alone. And shaitan will tell you, mashallah, you're good, sister, keep doing, khalas, you're okay, you don't need to improve, you're perfect, everyone else is bad, you're good, alhamdulillah, you know? And it's a deception then. So tazkiyah of the nafs, this is part of the teachings of the ihsan, from nafs al-lawwama bisu', the lowest, nafs al-ammara bisu', the lowest nafs, the nafs that commands you to do evil, to the nafs al-lawwama, the blaming nafs, to the nafs al-mutma'inna, the highest form of nafs, the tranquil and peaceful nafs, which we all want to be. And then, al-radiyah al-mardiyah, in Surah Al-Fajr, right? Ya ayyatuha nafs al-mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki, radiyatan mardiyah. Return to your Lord. Allah is pleased with you, and you are pleased with your Lord. Fadkhuli fi ibadi, wadkhuli jannati. Unfortunately, we recite this and we write it on the graves, right? But this ayah is for the dead or for the alive? So we should pursue in our life to reach the level of the nafs al-mutma'inna, the tranquil nafs. And who can take you there? Question. Who can take you to that place?
Yourself.
True guide.
But which guide though? The one who has already... The one who has already?
The
one who has already reached there, exactly. If you want to climb Mount Everest, will you climb alone or with someone who has already climbed it? Exactly. Unless you want to take risks, you know? But it's not smart, yeah? So there are people out there who have this type of knowledge, and it is extreme. So we talked about akhlaq also. So let's wrap up, inshallah. We're nearly close to time, right? Okay. And by the way, in this field of study, ihsan, it is not through books. Yes, you have Ihya Ulumuddin is written and all that, but the real knowledge, actually, Allah teaches you directly. Allah becomes your teacher. Wow. Then actually, you don't even need to know Arabic. Are you happy now? Because the language Allah speaks to you with in your heart can be any language, yeah? So Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. And be conscious of Allah and Allah will teach you. Right? How many of you want Allah to teach you directly in your heart? MashaAllah. Pure knowledge, huh? No Dajjal, no YouTube, no Instagram, nothing, huh? Yes.
We have a convert brother who's gonna join, Just for your knowledge.
Inshallah.
Okay,
inshallah.
You're just
going to
walk in.
Okay, inshallah. We're wrapping up. So books versus heart, just to wrap up, yeah? Big difference. Yeah? This knowledge, we're talking about ihsan, is heart to heart, my dear sisters, mothers. It's heart to heart, yeah? So the physical presence, very important. Books are great, but it's the light is not in the books. Where is the light? The heart. So learn it from a living teacher. It will help, inshallah. And online always versus offline. What's more preferable?
Offline.
Okay, online too much confusion, too much doubts. And some benefits of learning from a murabbi teacher, right, is that they will... By the way, why don't people accept teachers to be... Why don't students accept teachers? Why do students prefer online than to go and study with a teacher?
Judged.
Fear of being judged. And what else?
Scared.
Fear. Yeah, scared to unlearn things. Yeah. Wow, very important. Unlearn. There's going to be a lot of unlearning you will do. And... fear was a big one, because are there many scam scholars out there also?
Yes.
So many very sad stories, right? How the sheikh abuses the students, how they take advantage of them, you know? And astaghfirullah, it happens in the underdeveloped countries where there's a lot of ignorance, and the sheikh then takes advantage of this ignorance. But what I was referring to is one of the biggest milestones you have to cross to accept a teacher is your arrogance, right? Because usually our nafs says that I know, or I can find the information through Google, or I don't need a
teacher.
So that's the step you have to overcome. I need a teacher. I need help. I don't know. It's very difficult to say I don't know today, these days, right? Everyone says I know. My son always says I know. So and the murabbi teacher will teach you also adab, manners, right? Because they're a living example, just like the Prophet taught the Sahaba, you know, through his character, through his adab. That's why they were so in love with him, you know, his character, his etiquette, manners. And is there a difference between, we talked earlier about knowledge versus guidance. Is there a difference between knowledge and wisdom?
Yes.
Yeah, so knowledge you can get from books and ChatGPT and Google, but wisdom?
Experience.
You will get from experience and from teachers who have wisdom, yeah? Yeah, and wisdom is when the teacher teaches you the right thing at the right time, in the right way, in the right place, in the right proportion that you need, you know, because the one size fits all approach of teaching is flawed, it's wrong. Just like one size fits all in school doesn't work, even in the science of the deen and tarbiyah, every human being is different, every heart is different. And so the true scholars of tarbiyah, they give you a prescription based on what you need. Customize. Yeah? One size fits all doesn't approach. That's why books will give you one size fits all approach. You know? And it doesn't work. You need that customized. So how do you beware of scams, and how do you find the right guide and teacher? The only weapon you have is what?
Dua.
You ask Allah. If you're sincere, inshallah, Allah will give it to you. Let's wrap up with this. Check your intention, my dear brothers and my dear sisters and mothers. Before you pursue this path of knowledge, check your intentions. Why am I here? Why? What am I studying for? Is it because I want to show off to my friends that I have more knowledge than them? Is it so I can post online so I can get followers and people can be impressed that, wow, she has so much knowledge? You know, so beware. Iblis also had lots of knowledge, but his arrogance was his exit from Jannah, yeah? And of course, beware of the riya, minor shirk, where you are doing this not for only sincerity for the pleasure of Allah, you're doing it for other agendas. Some of you may be coming here for like socializing, you know? Or you just want to run away from your husband and you're coming here, or your children, you know? For you, this is like a break.
Excuse me,
but
this
association
with entertainment.
Alhamdulillah. Great, yeah.
Otherwise, very difficult to...
And so check your intention, because if you're doing it for other reasons than the pleasure of Allah, then there's really no point of it, you know. Only seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, put your knowledge into action, step by step. Because Allah told us that, yani, there are people, Allah says, يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Oh, you who believe, why do you say what you don't do? كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. It is extremely bad that you say what you don't do, you know. So may Allah make us of people who act upon our knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala place His nur and His guidance into our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all in this path of knowledge. May He, inshallah, guide us to true teachers who will teach us the true deen in all forms of its pillars, the true Islam, the true Iman, and the true Ihsan. May He help us reach the levels of Ihsan where we can worship Him as though we see Him. May He enhance our character. May He make us die shuhada on the path of knowledge and on the path of acting upon our knowledge. And may He make us the best ambassadors of this deen, with our akhlaq, with our manners, with our character. May He purify our hearts, and may we meet Him on the Day of Judgment with qalbin salim, with pure hearts, and with a nafs that is pure and a nafs that is mutma'inna and a nafs that is satisfied. Ameen. Subhanakallah bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Any questions before we end, inshallah?